Harris Iwane swore vigorously as Dart slowed. He had no choice but to reduce sail himself if he was going to keep station on the flagship. Part of him wanted to overtake Dart instead and get around in front of her. But if he did, his own guns would be masked by Dart's hull as he passed along her disengaged side, preventing him from firing a shot until he'd cleared Powell's ship. His mind worked feverishly, considering alternatives. At the moment, he didn't know whether or not the Dolorans meant to push the engagement fully home. If they wanted to break off, satisfied they'd protected their convoy, the damage to Dart's rigging offered them the perfect opportunity to do just that. If, on the other hand, they wanted to stay and fight it out, that same damage would give them a pronounced maneuvering advantage. There was no doubt in Iwane's mind what a Carizian squadron would do, but Dolorans weren't Carizians. They might decide to content themselves with the knowledge that they'd already done far better against Dolaran war galleons than anyone else had managed, and the convoy, currently under attack by Flash and Mace, was their primary responsibility. "Best stay where we are and pound their trailers as hard as we can," he decided. But he also beckoned one of his midshipmen to his side. "Get forward, Master Walker," he told the white-faced 12-year-old flatly. "I want you at the four top gallant crosstrees. You watch the flagship. Don't take your eyes off her. If she alters course, or you see one of these bastards working around ahead of her, you get your ass back down here and tell me. Got it?"
"Aye, aye, sir," the youngster replied, and went scampering off through the smoke and the thunder.
Ondaire Krall's ship crept steadily further forward. Ondaire Krall's ship crept steadily further forward, running broadside to broadside with the bigger, more powerful, but lamed Carizian galleon. Round shot hammered back and forth, and despite her damage aloft and the growing number of shot holes, Krall could see in her bulwarks and side, the Carizian was still giving as good as she got. And her guns were still heavier than anything he had, a point driven home as a Carizian round shot crashed through Bedard's side, killing a dozen men and shattering the carriage of one of her gun-deck 25-pounders. He looked aft to where Grand Vicar Morris was finally beginning to draw clear of her duel with the second Carizian. Krall was no fonder of Sir Darren Rosale than Rosale was of him. Despite that, he had to admit the arrogant aristocratic prick was no slouch. Grand Vicar Morris had taken a severe hammering from her opponent's more powerful artillery. Krall wasn't positive, but he thought he could actually see blood trickling from the scuppers of Rosale's ship. Despite that, her guns were still in action, and as he watched, they switched targets and began pounding the leading Carizian along with Bedard, while Mardai Saigon's guardsmen took up the second Carizian's challenge. Arnald Stewart made himself stand motionless, hands clasped behind him, face expressionless, as the Dolorans crowded in on shield and dart. The smoke was so dense now that he could see only the upper masts of the enemy galleons, but it was obvious what was happening. With dart slowed and shield trapped behind her, the lead Dolaran galleon was forging steadily ahead of the two Carizian ships. It wouldn't be long before she was in a position to swing further to the west, trying to head the Dolaran line, possibly even get into a position to rake dart from ahead.
"And I'm still not in a position to engage."
He glared up at his own sails, then made his decision.
"Shake out the topsail reefs, Master Maldon," he said crisply. "And after that, we'll have the Royal's honor, if you please."
"Oh, you bastard," Jean Powell thought grimly.
Dart's deck was heaped with dead and wounded. The wreckage of masts, sails, and spars had been cleared away, and the ship was under complete command once more. But even with the main course set, she was losing ground to her opponents. The lead Dolaran was two ships' lengths ahead of her,
and the second ship in the Dolaran line was starting to range ahead as well. The third galleon had moved up to batter away at her, although that ship seemed to have been pretty well battered herself. Astern, he could hear Shield still in furious action, with the fourth ship in the Dolaran line now, and Powell's eyes were set and hard as he watched the angle of the first Dolaran's masts begin to shift. She was making her move to cut across Dart's course, and he turned to his own helmsman.
"Bring her 2 points to starboard," he ordered.
"Sir! Sir!"
Harris Iwane turned towards the high-pitched voice. Midshipman Walker ran towards him, barely even hesitating as a seaman staggered back. Both of the wounded man's hands flew up to clutch at the blood-splashed ruin where his face had been, and he fell to the deck directly in front of Walker. The boy simply hurtled over the body and slid to a stop, gasping for breath.
"What?" Iwane demanded.
"Sir," Walker panted, "Dart's altering to starboard, about 2 points, I think. And I couldn't see for sure, but I think it's because the enemy's trying to get round in front of her."
"Good lad."
Iwane slapped the boy on the back, then wheeled to his helmsman.
3 points to starboard," he snapped, then raised his speaking trumpet. "Hands aloft, shake out the reefs and prepare to loose courses."